Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za. Point of View.
Legal Matters. It's a Wednesday, and Thabiseng Dubazana is here as usual. I mean, she is the go-to legal person. So everybody sits with their little pieces of paper and pen. They are ready to fire at you. You know, what about this? What about that? What about this? Okay, let's start with a matter that you want us to look into.
Yes. So we wanted to touch on it last week. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. We've talked a lot about when divorce happens and parents end up having to, the parent who's not the primary caregiver pays maintenance, has access to the kids, etc., etc. But now what happens? I think this question has come up a lot of times. What happens when I find out that this child that I've been maintaining, taking care of, is actually not mine? What happens then? So in this particular case, a man and a woman were married since 2012. And then in 2022, they divorced. In the divorce, the settlement agreement that states that, listen, dad, you are to maintain the minor child with X amount of money. You will have alternative access to the kid over weekends, over school holidays, etc., etc. And then that was that. Now, as time went by, dad is like, mm-mm. Something doesn't sit right with me. This child, I think this child isn't mine.
Aye, but Ntabise, agree, they got married in 2012.
Correct.
And until 2022, things were sitting right until 2022.
Correct. The only time. Okadi.
So I'm just checking whether.
Yes.
And I think this is an important part of the question.
Yeah.
Had he flagged his discomfort before? Does that matter? Had he said before, while they were married, while it was rosy?
Yes.
Sweetheart, that knows, ne? Nkwele.
Hasiak.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
How about Lirilo check?
Yeah.
And maybe not accusing the wife, maybe thinking, hey, maybe go spend it. I don't know. Had that never come up?
It never come up.
Is that a thing, though? Is that a factor?
In this particular case, the court said no. It didn't matter whether he had suspicions during the marriage or not. The only reason he had suspicions that he intercepted a conversation between his ex-wife and another gentleman. Mm. In that WhatsApp conversation, the gentleman says to him, to the ex-wife, take care of my daughter. And then he's like, no, wait a minute. He then confronts the wife and he discovers that she had an extramarital relationship, right? Mm. And at the time that this relationship actually happened, he was overseas. He was abroad. His job takes him everywhere across the globe.
Mm.
So it was round about when the child was conceived.
Mm.
He requested on numerous occasions, let's have a DNA test because I'm beginning to question.
Wait, so this request comes after the divorce has already happened.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And then...
And just another question. After the divorce has happened and after there has been a decree with exactly how much he must pay for maintenance and all of those responsibilities.
Correct.
Got you.
Which he had been doing nonetheless.
Yes. Yeah.
And then he then... Remember, in terms of section... If I'm not mistaken, section 19 of the Children's Act, the mother can object to a DNA test being conducted, but it is viewed adversely against her.
Really?
Yes.
So she could have said, I don't want to do a DNA test.
Correct. So during the visitation times, he took the kid anyway without her consent and did two different DNA tests.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Remember, if the mom refuses, it is viewed as adverse on her.
Mm.
If dad does it without her consent, it's not viewed as adverse on him.
Okay, got you.
So now dad goes and has two different DNA tests and then sends them to mom, serves them to mom with the court papers, with the sheriff in her personal capacity.
And what are the court papers saying?
This particular action here saying, listen, I've done the DNA test and we have a divorce decree.
Mm-hmm.
I have rights and responsibilities in terms of section 18 of the Children's Act. I have to take care of this child. I have to maintain this child. I have to. The list is endless. Now, because of this, I want my rights and responsibilities to be terminated. She chooses not to respond to the papers, leaves it as it is. This letter is interesting on two folds. Apart from the family aspect, it deals with things like commissioning of papers because he was out of the country. So in order for your founding affidavit to be admitted into the record, it has to be commissioned in terms of the rules of how commissioning should be done. I should be sitting across you, going through the document with you to say, do you understand the contents of this document? You need to say yes. Is it binding on your soul? The legal consequences of it, do you understand, et cetera, et cetera. So now the thing is, the paperwork, the affidavit, was submitted to the court without it being commissioned because it was out of the country. But by the time this matter was going to be heard, he still hadn't returned.
Oh my goodness.
So what they then did is that they did a Zoom call. So this case is actually precedent for two different situations. So they did a Zoom call where counsel was now going through the affidavit with him and saying, do you understand what this means? Did you sign? Did you commission? Did you everything? And then thereafter, they commissioned it, the commissioner put his commission stamp, like me as an attorney, I can put my commissioner stamp there and say that I was able to speak to this particular person who understands the contents of this affidavit. So now the court has to decide whether or not it adheres to the rules. And when the court said, listen, looking at the circumstances of this particular case, I believe everything was done right.
Ntabise,
yes.
You have taught us over time
that
there is me and you,
our
relationship and our fights and the divorce and.
Correct.
And then there are the rights of the child.
Yes.
Which are paramount.
Always.
Where does that leave the child now?
So now the court looked into that. Section 7, Section 28, Subsection 2 of the Constitution deals specifically with the rights of the child being absolute paramount. But also, now we need to balance the rights of this particular child with the rights of the father, who has just found out that this 10, 11-year-old person is not his. So now the court said, seeing as the father is active in the mother's life
and very aware that there's a child that must be taken care of.
Correct. Then why should his rights and responsibilities be transferred to somebody else who should not be bearing those rights and responsibilities? So now it was the ultimate question of fairness. If dad, for example, had died or was nowhere to be found, the court would probably have maintained the status quo that we know, that the interests of the child are here. Everybody else is second. This child deserves a home, a parent that is present, deserves to be maintained, deserves all the lists that we've listed over time. But in this particular instance, dad is present and mom knows.
Does the court have the obligation of proving that that's the dad? You know what I mean? As in, is this an assumption based on the intercepted messages that this is the dad?
Yes.
Because maybe this is not the dad.
Yeah.
So do we then have to go through the process of another DNA test so that we can transfer the rights and responsibilities of a parent? Because the child has to have a parent with those responsibilities. And we need to identify that person.
Correct. So if that was a counter or a reply, if there was a counter or even a simple reply to the papers, that could have been a question. But remember, mom chose not to oppose this application.
I see.
So now there's nothing for the court to say that, listen, let us look at another, let's actually confirm that this man that was communicating with mom is indeed the dad. So now the only issue that they had to decide was the papers of the applicant, which is the step, I don't know what to call him, but that man.
If that's the case, Ntabise, we still haven't dealt with the child.
Correct.
So we'll deal with his case and him saying, I want to relinquish my responsibilities.
Yes.
And I want out of this.
Yeah.
And maybe the court will grant that. But we still have the child.
Yes.
And so what happens there?
There was no one to speak for the child.
This is the question.
That's where the problem is. But is it the fact that because there's no one to speak for the child, that now dad must, the dad, pseudo dad, whatever dad, should now be punished, for lack of a better term, to take care of this child? These were the deliberations that the court had to deal with. Do we really want to remove all of this from the child? But how is this fair when dad now knows who real dad is, or at least per the communication, and what has not been refuted by the respondent. Because the best way to confirm whether or not real dad is real dad is for mom to come forward and reply to the papers and say, yes, it is real dad, yes, I was away, or say, no, dad is mistaken, he's always been the biological father of this person, those DNA tests are incorrect, so that the court can make an order to say, seeing as you're disputing the DNA of dad and real dad, let there be an order saying that these two people be tested and the DNA be brought back before this court. But because there was no such thing, all they can do is rely on the papers before them.
And so whose responsibility is it to pick up on the issues of the child?
It would have to be mom, because now she has, quote unquote, the full responsibilities. It's no longer shared with anybody else. Because what the court also added in their ruling is saying, at Home Affairs, he can go without her consent, have his name removed from the birth certificate and also from the registry completely. Mm. So somebody has to be filled in that space. So it will be the responsibility of mom now to go and amend, once dad has moved his info, to go and fill in the missing blanks there for Home Affairs.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll take your questions, your calls, you know, as usual, 860-00-00959. Ntabi Singh Dubazana is here.
Sure.
Okay, lines are open, 860-00-00959. Voice notes on 063-688-0959. You don't have to leave your name, it's okay. You can remain anonymous, that's fine. And you don't have to stick to the topic. You can ask any, absolutely any legal question, whatever it is. Try not to wait until it's too late, so that Ntabi Singh can get enough information and we can try and help you as much as possible. I'm back at that case because, and this is because of your teachings, you see. You've always advocated for fairness,
yes,
for both men and women. In this case, and I think what's happening here is good for this man. But you've also always highlighted the fact that there are our issues and then the rights of the child. If we can say the mother has been irresponsible, in many ways actually, but one of the ways is not to have even acknowledged the court.
Yeah.
That makes me worry, because what if actually she cannot maintain this child?
Yeah.
What then happens there? Because she's decided to check out. She doesn't communicate with anybody. She's ignored the courts. The child will be deprived of this maintenance money.
Yeah.
She's not even saying, I will bring that other man so that he can take over his responsibilities. What happens there with the child again?
So I think the important part for this matter was for the gentleman to make sure that in the event he does not pay maintenance,
he's not,
then he's not being held in contempt of court.
Yes.
All right. So with that being said, the question would be, if mom were to refer the matter to maintenance court and ask dad,
yes,
to still pay maintenance,
yes,
in spite of the rights and responsibilities being removed.
Because you've spoken about cases like that,
yes,
where you say, irrespective of whether you people are on good terms or not,
yeah,
the child remains central.
Yes. The issue would be that maintenance court is match court.
Okay.
This matter is in the High Court.
Got you.
High Court supersedes,
yes,
match,
match court.
Court.
Yes.
So she will likely not succeed in making a successful maintenance claim against dad, because there's a High Court order that says Section 18 rights have been removed.
Anyway.
Yes. So now she's back to square one. Unless after the order, because he still loves this kid, he raised this kid, he decides to do something and continues to maintain in one form or another, then he's binding himself to a situation saying she can now go back and claim.
Because there's the court,
yes,
there's the law, and there's life.
Mm.
If for what, how old is the child? 10?
Yes.
If for whatever reason, Ntabi Singh, the dynamics of this family, and I'm going to call them a family for now, are that mom just doesn't have it.
Mm.
Mom just does not have it. We must remember these people had a relationship.
Yes.
The child and the dad. And for whatever reason, poor innocent little child maybe phones the father.
Yes.
Or someone, maybe not even the child, maybe a school phones the father to say, please help. Or a relative says, please help. Maybe there's a school holiday trip or whatever the case may be that's looming. Can you assist maybe by, I don't know, ballet shoes, for instance? You know, now they're getting too tight. The child can't do ballet, whatever the case may be. And the man decides out of the goodness of his heart to help. Are we saying he's probably going to enter himself into a little corner?
Correct.
Because if he does it once, he will then have to continue.
Yes.
And it will be seen as maintenance.
Correct. And now, even though there's a court order that exists that says you don't have to, because you did it anyway, she can now go and say, but on Fridays for the past 3-6 months after the court order.
Yeah,
and there's proof to the that you actually have been paying maintenance. So if you stop it now, what are you basing it on? Because this child is now relying on this amount that you're depositing on a monthly
what
basis.
What must now happen? The feet are growing still.
You know what I mean? Because now the ballet shoes are still not fitting 6 months later.
Mm.
And for that, she may have grounds in maintenance court to say, yes, I know there's a court order, but even after the court order, this is what he did. And as a result, I am saying that he has created a dependency and therefore this child relies on this particular support.
Mm.
So I would suggest that if dad were to do that, he must have a very clear vision of what the consequences may end up being should he continue in that world.
086-00-00959, the voice notes on 063-688-0959. And that's SLB, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamelo and Tabiseng. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Dada Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Excellent. Yeah. Welcome.
I know. That divorce, that maintenance care, so much on it. I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, Dada
Selby. Yeah. No, good for both, Tabiseng.
And
Dada
Selby.
Honestly, like I say, the tenant that thing, but it's a government. RTP. Then home killers tenant say, why can't he land? Somewhere, what's a subsidy of government? Is it possible, Hore, Okatola, government, a go for title, Dita Plague, Kauraso, Achelukien?
So, Alex, for like a better term, but azang bao allocate le yona, and then when now both man or abani hunani stand this open, instead is a government Eden Vale, ubo aha Eden Vale.
Are ukila warekan?
Yes.
Government will subsidize.
Okay.
Then maybe wabali the problem can go away. Ricky sorwa.
You were once allocated a house. That's the bottom line. So now, how about that in way you would have to wait to reapply and why it is that you lost the first one, so that they assess your situation on merit. Do you even deserve or qualify? If they have a right to demolish that property because that's their property. So when you are at your own detriment. Yes, they can, because in that particular area.
So that will be stand se o no iphile sona, you know, I'm just giving an example. Ore
akere this stand se ko office e ba le fatsona ba check o rokile wa ba.
This is what I was going to say. Hore mistake can start ko office.
Correct, yeah.
Ne? From what you're saying, that is help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but
obviously our check or kilo wa bale ntlo
when our applier ba ufa
wa applier ba ufa steneseo then when a ka go itseba gore wa tshisa ge ba re ba wagela tswang gore no a ke ba
o bo ikahela
o bo ikahela.
Oh, in that case if about system in ba re ho wena o running ah o teng because they never checked to na ntlo o ke la ba le yona through them in the first place, then because you were allocated for standing
Selby's got a good point, because in the end, for legal purposes,
yes,
he now wants this thing atole
title deed.
Because in rapping, let's say he dies.
Yes.
Ne? There's that estate thing.
That's where the problem is going to be.
And the issue here is that when they wrap up this estate,
yes,
and they wind up this estate,
yeah,
it will not be his. Neither will it be his children.
Correct.
So Ntuyele, ewe yahiling, will not belong to you or your family, even though we are healing. Problem imo.
And my worry, Korabaning, once you request the title deed, it's one thing to who aha regardless because ba allocate less stand. But how fancy ba request the title deed a deeds office? Because RDP office ya ting e gemets na kutidi. So how about ya deeds office ba lo sheba? But no, wait a minute. This is what happened. And then they're going to go back to the RDP office bare. How did you allocate this house to this person when we already assisted this person? Which goes back to, it is likely balo demolish and glue dulang huyona because you don't have a right to be there. Yes, by evic do away from that property and if we mutu imo. Yeah.
That is help. Give what tata ba mangbo. Egar give what tata ba serious.
No, because in the
so, we say Achilles.
Achilles, double so.
Yo, yeah. Usually it's like that.
Yeah.
So problem mo na kore. Leba na bahai la katamae. Because kono isuba.
Yes, yes. Ntuwe no no hydro for my as part of a state ya mufu. So kima tata.
Yeah, no, ke problem mo kore.
That's the case.
No.
Thanks, Ntate
Selby.
But ntsha bricks and mortar. Thanks, Ntate Selby.
Thank you, Ntate Selby.
Let's take a quick break. When I come back, I will be taking your voice notes as well as your calls, actually, on 086-00-00959.
Hi, Pimelo and Tabby. I just wanted to find out, in a case of parental alienation, can one of the parties just decide that they are backing off, they want nothing to do with the child, and in that case, and maybe sign off their rights that they would have as a parent? And in that case, would they still be forced to pay maintenance? How does it work?
Did you get it?
I did. So parental alienation is section 31 of the Children's Act. So this is when a parent intentionally alienates another parent from the minor children. So basically you are either depriving the parent from access, communication, or forming any sort of bond with these children. Now, if the other parent who is aggrieved in this situation decides, Geshapo, it's enough, I don't want any part of this, they need to make an application to the High Court and say, I would like my parental rights and responsibilities to be terminated as a biological father or mother, whoever is the aggrieved party. But that is a Section 25 application in terms of the Children's Act. It is not easy to get rights terminated of a biological parent? Because the question is, okay, we terminate your rights and responsibilities, but still what happens to this kid? This kid still needs a father. This kid still needs a mother. So it is going to be very difficult for that. I do know of, like, I have a client who actually made the conscious decision that let me not have a relationship with the kids, period. Let's leave it at that.
As in,
Yeah. Parent,
not the one, not the other partner saying, I don't want you.
Yes.
It's him who decides, I don't want a relationship with my children.
Because you are ensuring that the kids do not have a relationship with me anyway. Anytime I try.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay, so he doesn't have access, he doesn't communicate and all of that. And so he's decided, I'm going to go to court and to relinquish.
No, he's just decided to stop communicating with the kids. He just stopped. And he informed them, he requested mom to inform the kids that because of the dynamics between you and I, you preventing me to have a relationship with the children, and because if I say it, you are going to run to the police station and say I did something or the other. Rather, you inform the children that dad will no longer be communicating. My responsibilities, I will continue doing. And dad does everything. From school fees, home, everything. Mom does absolutely nothing for these children. But dad cannot have access, dad cannot have communication. So a lot of fathers are choosing that to bana batla hola, they will come to me. I will then eventually have a relationship with them as adults. I will have to unfortunately forego a relationship with them as minors because I am not permitted to do so. But with this case that we're dealing with today, so, maybe.
So can he then go to the court and say exactly that?
Yes.
Say, she is anyway denying me the rights to seeing the children, access, relationship, all of that.
Yes.
I want to give up my rights.
Yes.
Can he do that?
He can do that. And I think this case that we're talking about today is actually setting the direction or the tone for something similar to that.
Mm.
Yes, the circumstances here are quite different in that dad found out that he's not the biological parent, but there are so many dads that are alienated from their kids.
Mm.
And as a result, they don't have a relationship with these kids. And sometimes it goes further to that they're not even allowed to maintain these kids anyway. So both the rights and the responsibilities don't exist when they come to this particular child. So what could happen is that we make an application in terms of Section 25 to have all rights and responsibilities stripped from dad, and then mom has full rights and responsibilities. What does happen, like I have a case similar to that, where mom is requesting that dad hasn't been part of this child's life willingly so for the past 13 years. So there's an application before the court as we speak to say, okay, can he just now just be removed so that when I move around with the kid, I don't need to hunt him down where he is now for me to cross the border to wherever. And anything that pertains to the child's school, health, anything, can I be allowed to do it on my own? So those are applications that are usually made by the primary caregiver to say the other one is not interested. So it's clear. Can it remain as such? But when it's the other way around, where by the person who's been deprived access and deprived anything and is not the primary caregiver and make an application such as this, that would be interesting to see how it would work out.
So in the situation where the parent decides, I want to challenge this then.
Yeah.
Because I'm not given access to the children and all of that. What do then the courts consider? In other words, would they consider punishing the mother rather than rather than allowing him not to be a part of the family?
Correct. Because most of the time, this happens when there is a court order in place.
Yes, of course.
And we've seen four cases now where moms have been sentenced to time in prison for contempt of court. I think the longest one, it has been 12 months where mom was sentenced to 12 months imprisonment for failure to adhere to such a court order. Excuse me. So as a result,
so this is the mother who keeps dodging the father. You don't want to give the children the phone.
Yes.
You say, ba busy, ha phone, no habayo, visits, no hurry.
Exactly all of that.
Hey, my daughter. And then eventually the poor man decides, enough.
Enough is enough.
Enough. I get the message. I'm not going to see my children.
Yeah.
And I need to act.
Yes. And then he went to the court. And here's the downside. he had to go to court. They had to go to court more than, what, 5 times for them to prove that here's the order, I've been deprived. No. Let's give it some time. Then it went back and and she kept on, being in contempt.
Playing games.
Exactly. And then the courts say, it seems people think that a court order is a piece of paper. It's about time that courts actually show that a court order is not a piece of paper. Therefore, here you go. Go to prison. Go think about what you need to do. Kid, go to your dad while mom is in custody. So alienation is a real thing. And you can cure it. It is, like I always say, it's always very difficult.
You know, things are changing, hey? I mean, there was a time when men felt like no one cares, no one listens, no one's on our side.
Yeah.
So be careful. If when you want to play games,
these are the consequences. Yes.
And it may be slow.
Very slow.
But it will happen.
It will happen. I always say when men come to the office, please be patient. It's going to take some time, but we will get there.
And the courts are starting to change.
Yes.
They are starting to move in the right
direction.
Yes,
they are.
Well, at least there's fairness, what seems to be fairness.
Correct.
At the moment.
Correct, yes. So at least it gives us a glimmer of hope. But the downside is that fairness seems to be in the upper courts more than in the lower courts.
Not in the merge courts.
Yeah.
So you really have to escalate.
And then it gets to the high court for the judge to make such a ruling.
Why is that?
I have no idea. The merge courts, I don't know if it's a fear to actually apply the law.
Corruption.
There's empathy or there's bias. I really can't pinpoint it, but it's always such a difficult thing to get dads to have some kind of fairness when it comes to the minor kids. It's always, if mom feels like this, then therefore, without having a look at the facts.
For someone listening, is trying to prove that very fact.
Yeah.
Just tips on what they should be gathering right now while they prepare to prove their case, because it does become hard.
Correct.
It takes a lot, and sometimes there's a back and forth because you don't have enough that's required for you to be seen and believed and for the courts to grant you the order.
Yes. So text, don't call. Send a text.
Oh, I see. Write it.
Yes. Okay. Because guy a call, it's always my word against your word. You said this, I said that. Send a message. Yes. You know. Yeah. So rather just ingwale fat.
And then tsonse are yena ka text. Mwana o dlala ka babi.
Okay, mwana ha ke tla dlala ka babi.
Ke kopa o ha fetsa le babi. Are phone. And then she will say, "O fetse le babi o robe."
Yes. Yes. It is tedious, but I don't do it.
2 hours later, or Osanza Robes.
Yeah.
And then I will ignore it.
Yes. Yes.
It's important.
Text or email.
Yes. Okay. I will ignore. Umale happy. Haso tsuhina. Umale happy.
Yes.
Maybe Kausana has a school on the na. Kausanu una li what? Oh, gafuna na koma. Skangala, just keep going.
Please do that, because it works. It in the long run, it really, really works, because you can have proof. You're gonna how it all started and how it ended up here.
And don't find yourself zamaka panga koskolong. Kamishet.
Yes.
And then Casey, how it's now a problematic.
Hey, but no, a danger to the child.
It's now complicated.
Yes.
Mwala wena text.
And also, how zama olula dangwan? If the first time hobali di whatever di hosano, and you know hobali, but you're threatening me or you're fighting me or whatever, make sure the next time you go, you have an escort and maponesa. so that they can depose an affidavit to say Motio came and asked us to accompany him or her to go pick the child up, because every time they go, there's always a dispute, there's always some kind of altercation that happens. As a result, we went there at this time. We then spoke to the security at the gate, if it's an estate, to say, can we please go to unit Mamang? And then the woman fought and refused with the child and whatnot. Those affidavits come in handy, because it's proof that you were not trying to force your way into anything. You were trying to adhere to a court order, and this person was refusing. You sought assistance from the law, and still you were not getting joy.
If a tool that is used by the disgruntled parent is to badmouth the other,
yes,
and create animosity,
yes,
how do they then deal
with
that?
That's alienation. That's Section 31. It
is also alienation.
Yes.
Where, hey, man, wana man. Wamona uchinche.
Yes.
Wamona runganono. A sibu teenage.
Yes.
Wana ukuli
ditaba. Yes.
Baho roha baho minze ditaba.
Yeah.
Kuri, it's real.
Yes.
And so the child is uncomfortable around.
Yes. So now, when it's such a situation, I remember one case they had to reintroduce a relationship to that. So now you're going back to having monitored visitations with this child. So this child, are they feeling comfortable around you with supervision, with like a social worker, with like whoever? But if you're going to put a family member there, the family member is going to be biased to say, I was watching and I saw that the baby was uncomfortable, so I pulled the child from the dad. Kanako is a 15-year-old person. But
or the argument being,
yeah. Yeah. So now we have to be in a neutral place, like a social worker's office or something, for them to be, for there to be a reintroduction of a relationship.
Tabisa, where do people find you?
So we are at 272 Oak Avenue on the ground floor, office G2 in Randburg. Our landline is 087-265-8010. Our WhatsApp line 079-654-7523. Otherwise, our email is info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za.
Thanks, Tabisa. We'll be back tomorrow at 8, everybody.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.